else wants to volunteer? You're being volunteered, Becky. Your sister's volunteering you. All right. The way that he loves is as fair as the day that blesses my way with light. The way that he loves is as soft as the breeze caressing the trees at night. So tender and precious is he, contented with Jesus I'll be. The way that he loves is so thrilling because his love reaches even me. The way that he loves is as deep as the sea. His Spirit shall be my stay. Is as pure as a rose, much sweeter he grows each day. His peace hovers near like a dove. I know there's a heaven above. I'll cling, life's a wonderful thing because of the way he loves.
I'd like us to continue tonight looking into the book of Daniel, as we've seen the preparation for his final trial, as it were. We've seen him taken away in his youth and tested and being conformed to the world, and he stood against that. And then tested in his earlier days as he stood against the false pride of Nebuchadnezzar and then the misunderstanding later. And then finally, here in chapter 6, we looked at the opposition of the world to the man of God in a time when he'd been faithful. And now we'll see the culmination of their plots. But thanks be to God, we also get to see God's victory over those plots. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing, it is true, according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and the signet of his lords, that the purpose be not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came into the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and he has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Then Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Isn't that an amazing story? We sang tonight, Great is thy faithfulness, and truly our Lord is faithful. Daniel is one of the two men of the Old Testament you can look hard and find no reproach in their life. They were faithful to the Lord. Every opportunity they were tested, they passed. Daniel and Joseph of the Old Testament, I think, are just sterling examples of men who loved God and served him in hard times. Joseph was misunderstood and lied about and all that. And Daniel, he was, again, misused because of others. And yet they stood faithful to the Lord. And yet they never, either one of them, were arrogant or took the credit for themselves. The three Hebrew children earlier in this book, you know, when they answered the king and got thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. If it be, God can deliver us. If not, we're still not going to bow. And they stood on their faith, and God answered them. Daniel here in the similar thing. I'm always impressed with those words that I read in the beginning of the reading tonight in verse 10. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house and the windows, etc., and on his knees three times a day prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You see, he did not let the changing whims of men change his decisions. He did not let worldliness conform him to its pattern. He had made a decision, for whatever reason, that he ought to pray three times a day. There's a passage in the Old Testament, Psalms, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and seek thy face. And so perhaps that's the pattern he used there. I find no command that you have to pray three times a day, but it's a good practice. And it's one Daniel had established in his life. He was not young at this time. He was a little older by now, and he'd been around a while, and he made a determination. Just because these false representatives of the king, these jealous people, had made this law to entrap him, he would not change because of them. That kind of challenges us, does it not? Will we allow others? I didn't know you were here. I thought you were in there. Oh. I thought she was in there. That's why I wasn't signing. Sorry about that. All right. Well, you should have told me before. I didn't see you before. I wasn't paying attention. Sorry about that. Somebody yell at me. You see that happen. Or else one of you volunteer to sign. Okay. So anyway, Daniel continued on faithfully in his service for the Lord, just as he did before time, did not change because of these people who were accusing him falsely. And God blessed him that way. But I noticed that the world is always opposing us. And we looked at that a little bit last time, as we saw in chapter 6, the first part of it, how they were jealous of Daniel because he was faithful and the king noticed. And so by that we can learn also a lesson that we can face opposition unfairly because others are jealous of God's blessing on us. They don't want God. They don't want to do what's right, but they want to be praised and they want to be lifted up and they want to succeed. Do we not see that even today in our society and all the wicked publication and advertisements that lifts up evil actions and criticizes good because they want to be successful and to do what they want irregardless of what God does. Then we have to make a choice. Will we continue or will we submit to their pressure? Will we give up? That's a hard thing because we're seeing more and more opposition against God's people because of the jealousy of the world and the hatred they have for the Lord. Daniel's reward for faithful service for a short time seemed to be bad actions against him. They twisted his faithfulness to God to use it against him. And I noticed last time they said, we're not going to find anything against this man Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God, verse 5. Could that be said of us? That they could find nothing wrong in our life and our activities except it be concerning God? We come to the Lord's house on Sundays and we come on Wednesday night, some of us, and we pray regularly, I hope, in our home. We read our Bible, those things that God taught us we ought to do. And we ought to keep on doing it no matter what man may try to do. They may try to make it illegal, but God wants us to be faithful to him. Why? Because of jealousy. They wanted the praise. They didn't want the service. It's a hard thing to understand when people are just not right in their minds because jealousy twists their understanding. It makes them think that Daniel is some way doing something wrong against them because he's faithful. Or as I quote from the New Testament example, when the Lord gave that story of the landowner who went out in the early morning, he hired some fellows to go work in his field, and they agreed for one penny a day. Of course, you know that sounds strange to us, for to us a penny is very small, but in their day it was a day's wage. Whatever that coin looked like, it was what was expected and accepted. And they said, that's a good deal. We'll agree for that. And then later he called some other fellows in to work later in the day. And finally, as he paid them off, he paid them all the same. And they were upset, the first ones. They said, wait a minute, we worked all day. These fellows are just a few hours and you're paying them the same. You've made them equal to us. You remember his answer? He said, is thy heart evil because I'm good? Didn't you agree for a penny? It wasn't that a fair wage? Well, yeah. We thought it was before. But see, they were jealous because somebody else got something they thought was more than what they got. And that's an awful thing. Jealousy is a mean thing that twists our perception. The lesson of that parable that Jesus gave about the landowner paying off all those workers is God is better to us than we deserve. And we ought to thank God, he's gracious. He gives us more than we deserve, more than we expect. Is that not what he said, that he's able to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think? Thanks be to God for his goodness to us. But Daniel was faithful. He continued on. And then these men, they came, they found him praying, they went before the king and they told him, didn't you sign this law? Well, yeah, I did. And then they sprang the trap. Well, that Daniel, see, they even refer to him in a way that makes it sound bad. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Is that why Daniel prayed? Because he didn't care about the king? No, it's a lie. He prayed because he prayed. That was his faithful service before and continued on. They twisted the meaning of his activity. Is that not what often happens against us as Christians? In the early days of the churches in the New Testament, I read references that have been handed down through the ages of where the enemies of Christ would misrepresent Christians as those coming together and eating human flesh and killing babies and stuff. They mocked them because they would take the words that they used from Christ, that he gave his body for us, and the Lord's Supper and such given us as a symbolic representation of what Christ would do for us, and they would twist them and mischaracterize them. That's exactly what they did here. But the king finally understood what was going on. You notice what it says? When he heard these words, he was sore displeased. With whom? With himself. He thought, they twisted my plan. I thought they were in agreement, thanking me for the good work and all the success of the kingdom. They're just using me to hurt Daniel. He was upset with himself for being trapped. And then he went down, it says, until the end of the day, the going down of the sun, he tried to find a way to deliver Daniel. But see, they had made their plans well. They knew the rules of their society. If the king signed it, it could not be changed. I've said before, I think that is a very foolish rule. For it supposes that a king will never make a mistake. Thank God our country was set up with a plan. If we mess up, there are ways to correct those mistakes. Hopefully, we'd be smart enough to do it before another war. But it took a civil war to correct some of the mistakes from the early years. Don't know what's going to take to bring us back, if God would grant that we'd be brought back in our time. But the king did his best. But they had beat him with the law. They had twisted the purpose of it. What do you think the purpose was that they established that could not be changed? Well, I think perhaps it was that if a king had decided this is the right way, then nobody would be able to put pressure on him to change it afterward. He was to lead the people, and that's a good thing. But never take the good goal of a person and think, well, they'll never mess up, because we're human. Only God is perfect. Only God can say, this is the way, and it never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. Men fail. And Darius is caught in the trap of their society's expectations for the king. So he was forced to do what was promised. But you notice the words of his exhortation to Daniel as they brought him and prepared to throw him into the den of lions. He said, Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest, continue, he will deliver thee. It sounds pretty good, but then you read the rest of the verses, he was worried all night. He was hoping that God would deliver him. That was his desire. That was his goal. He expected God could, but he wasn't sure yet. Kind of like us when we pray, amen? I mean, we believe God's good. We believe God is able, but we still pray and trust in the Lord and wait until we get the answer. I remember the New Testament again when the Lord went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples. And he came back afterwards, and there here was a man who had brought his son to the disciples who was cast in the fire, controlled by those demons. And he had asked them, please, to cast him out, and they couldn't. And the Lord looks at him and, you know, how long will I be with you, oh, ye of little faith, and such. And he asked that man, he said, do you believe I can do this? He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I always like that statement. Because he's trying his best. He believed the Lord could and would, but he always had those doubts nagging in the back of his mind, if you will. And that's the way we are, aren't we? We want to believe the Lord, we want to trust the Lord as much as we can, but we need constant encouragement because we're human and we fail. The king wanted that. And then he went into his palace, went all night without eating. I mean, that's not normal for a king. Didn't have any music played to help him to sleep. By the way, it's interesting. It reminds us of the difference of then and now. He didn't have a television or a radio or a record player or anything. He had to have people come in and do music live if he wanted to hear it. You realize how much blessing we have because we can have recorded music, but also how the devil used that as a curse with the wicked things in this world. Some people never have any quiet in their life because something's always on. They didn't have it then. But the king made a purpose. He was miserable. He was walking the floor, if you will. And he rose up early in the morning. And he cried out. I like this. It says, with a lamentable voice. He was still twisting with anguish about it. He said, Daniel, oh Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continue able to deliver thee from the lion? He wanted to find out what was the result of his prayer. He wanted to see what God had done to protect his servant. And Daniel had a good reputation before this king. And I remind you again that Daniel had served many years previously to this king's enemy, to Nebuchadnezzar and his lineage in Babylon. Now he was serving to Darius in the next administration, which was a whole other nation. And yet he had such a good reputation that he served God. And I love Daniel's answer. He says, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You see, God honored Daniel's faithfulness, and he also recognized that king had been trapped. And he emphasized that Daniel had done nothing to deserve this before this king. And it says the king was exceeding glad for him. He said, bring him out. They fulfilled the law. Now, can you imagine the shock of these who brought the accusations against Daniel? They thought they'd trapped him. Their plan has succeeded. They got him and thrown into the den of lions. They said, nobody's going to get out of that. We don't have to worry anymore. We can take control now. We won't have this influence of this right-wing conservative person in our administration, whatever. We win. But they didn't win. God was in control. And I apply that to our situation today. We're confronted on every hand by evil men making plans against God's people, trying to destroy righteousness in our land. And they use the rules, they use the government, they use the courts, and they try to twist things against what should be done. And yet, if we abide faithful, God is able to turn it around. Oh, I pray that we'd be faithful as Daniel was. And of course, then you see the justice the king commanded and brought those men that accused Daniel and threw them in. Them and their wives and their children. That seems awful hard to us. But the thing that is shocking to me in that whole statement is the lions broke all their bones there before they even got to the ground. They threw them in and they killed them before they fell all the way down in. And yet Daniel went down, nothing hurt him. You know, someone said, well, the lions were all tired and sleepy when Daniel, they sure were awake when the others came down. God protected him. There's no other way about it. And the king saw the difference. Sometimes even the world can see the difference. If you have someone who truly desires the good for their nation, you would think they would lift up righteousness, because the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Look at our nation today. In the years where we lifted up the Lord and honored people who served the Lord, we've been blessed. But in recent years, we've turned from that. We said, we don't want God in the schools. We'll throw him out. We don't want God in the public arena. We'll take him down. We're going to change it. We're going to do it our way. And it's getting worse and worse every year. And we need to stand for the Lord. If God delivers us, fine. If not, fine. We still stand for God because we have a better home, because heaven is our goal. And if we did not live through that trouble as Daniel did, if he had died, he'd have been better off. I'm reminded of the words that Paul wrote in the New Testament as he's talking to the Christians in the churches there. He says, I have a desire to be with the Lord, which is far better. But it's better for y'all if I stay around a while. And he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know which way I should choose. But he wanted to serve God. He wanted to help them. But he also wanted to get to heaven. And I think of our brother Kenny, who passed away after fighting that cancer for a long time. He's relieved of that suffering. He's with the Lord. We're sorrowful that we miss him here. Friends and family that knew him and applauded his example. And thank God for his input in their lives. And yet now he's at home with the Lord. And he gets to enjoy some of that blessedness even now. And that's what we're looking forward to, isn't it, Christian? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. So why should we put all our treasures down here? We ought to prepare for heaven. We ought to invest our time, our talent, and our treasures for the Lord. Use our abilities for God. It's so sad to me as I've watched over the years people that God has given talent, especially those in singing, and they've twisted it and gone into the world and made a mockery of the very talent that God granted them. And I think, how sad. Maybe they never were saved, though they grew up, some of them, in a Christian environment. But if they were and they get up to heaven after all that, oh, what a shame it will be. I don't know their hearts, God knows. But we ought to rather say, Lord, you've given me a little here to use. I want to serve you the best I can. And give it to him in our life. Use it for him that we might receive that eternal reward. Because our life here on earth is short. Just one life, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And he will reward us accordingly. Much better than we can down here. Now, Darius, as a king, he made a proclamation, told everybody that to honor God and fear the God of Daniel. And I like the way he describes this. Not only is he saying that you need to honor him, but he said, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. See, he gave all the praise to God. I think it's pretty clear that Darius had a better understanding of the Lord God than most of those other people in his kingdom. God had used Daniel and maybe the other three men as well. I don't know. They're not mentioned at this time. But they had a testimony in a pagan land and a pagan administration, and God used them, and he prospered in those days. I wonder, are there any people in places of government today who are standing for the Lord and be a good witness, even to people that don't know all the answers yet? Nebuchadnezzar had to do a lot of changing in his life that we read about in the earlier part of the book, from his proudful attitude to a humble one, understanding God sets up and God takes down. And Darius, he just got really wonderful comprehension that God is in control. I like the way he explains that. Do we have that same understanding in our mind? God is ruling in the affairs of men. We're looking to an election where it's kind of confusing to us because we don't know what everybody is really believing, and they make all the promises they can and all. But God's in control. We need to trust the Lord. Someone said years ago, after one of the terrible economic crashes, to one of the men of God who was a missionary at the time, says, well, what do you think about your prospects now? The money has just crashed. What are you going to do? He said, the future is just as bright as the promises of God. It's not dependent on the value of the dollar. It's not dependent on who wins elections. It's dependent on God. And God is able to deliver his people. I challenge you tonight, as we've looked through these weeks in the book of Daniel, and we've seen the ups and downs, we've seen the challenges, we've seen God succeed. Are we willing to stand as they did? Are we willing to trust God in the midst of adversity? Because I tell you, it's coming. The Bible says the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and they are. But God can deliver us if we're faithful. Maybe it'll be in a miraculous way as Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Maybe we'll die. Because you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, you read that hall of the faithful. At the end it says, some of whom the world was not worthy did not accept deliverance. But they went on and God used them. Even though they died in this life, God paid attention. There's a reward. There's a martyr's crown for them who die for their faith. And God will not miss that. We need to remember we win. No matter what happens down here, we're on the winning team. God's in control. Stand together with me as we have our invitation hymn tonight. Page 347. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. 347. So.